Good afternoon. This is the Corco conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin's first quarter 2013 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, good afternoon, actually, and welcome to the quarter one conference call. As usual, I will provide a short comment to the main events occurred in the quarter and then leave to Pierluigi the financial comment. Now, let me start with revenues. Sales in the quarter have been strong, as expected, showing a continuous growth of both the Liazol install base and the clear non-vitamin D products. A high double-digit growth of the clear non-vitamin D products has been obtained across all regions as a result of new product introduction, which has happened in the previous quarters and in the clinical areas of stool testing, infectious disease, and endocrinology. Vitamin D declines continues as expected, mainly driven by price. In fact, worldwide vitamin D volumes are flat or slightly higher than last year, whereas prices continue to erode or prices negotiated last year do fully impact the results of this quarter. As previously discussed, we expect the price effect of vitamin D will smooth out later in the year. The Liazon XL install base has now reached 750 units with over 140 systems placed in this quarter. We therefore confirm our guideline for over 500 systems installed in 2013. The Liazon XL is doing extremely well for us. Let's now focus on geographies. I would like to start from Europe, where we have finally seen a good growth, first from many quarters, and this has been obtained notwithstanding the still difficult financial situation in key markets. Germany continues to accelerate with an 11% growth driven by Liazon XL installations. Italy, which is our domestic market, notwithstanding a 4.3% market decline, which has been reported by ASSO Biomedica, the Diagnostic Manufacturer Association. Now, Italy has grown for DiaSorin almost 6%, driven by the success of some products like HIV and hepatitis and the newly introduced products for hypertension. Finally, France is stabilizing after the vitamin D business that has declined in 2012, and we expect to start seeing growth again starting from quarter two of 2013. In North America, besides the vitamin D decline, which we have discussed, we continue to see the development of sales of the infectious disease product line. Let me remind you that starting from last year, we submitted to the FDA several products now available only outside the U.S., and this was done in order to reposition the company after the success of vitamin D in the large labs. In quarter one, we got 6 new products released and commercially available, and in quarter two, we expect 4 more additional products to be released for commercialization. In particular, in quarter one, I would like to focus on the hypertension panel made from renin and aldosterone, where the DiaSorin is the only supplier of a fully automated assay in the U.S. I personally have great expectations from these products in the U.S. due to the fact that they are intended to support a medical decision in a market like hypertension that is key in all developed countries. Finally, Asia continues to grow almost 30%, notwithstanding Q1 is traditionally weak in China due to the festivities, the new Chinese year. So Asia is very strong for us and continues with the same trend that we have seen in the previous quarters. As far as South America is concerned, as predicted, South America continues to expand, and Brazil has set a new course, growing 80% plus versus last year, thanks to the launch of the Liazon XL and the success of the new products which have been introduced along the last few quarters. Now, before moving to molecular, I would like to comment briefly on the status of vitamin D registration in Japan. A meeting was held with the Japanese regulatory body to discuss the status of the registration. Now, let me remind all of us that the intent was to get both vitamin D and the Liaison XL platforms approved in the country. Unfortunately, additional data have been requested to support the registration of some of the renovation of some of the XL ancillaries and platform. Data were now provided this week, but because of the Japanese regulation, the clock has now been reset, and we do not expect registration to happen in 2013, so before the end of 2013. As far as molecular is concerned, initial validation of lung products has started, and three new products will now be launched in quarter two to complete the infectious disease line. Sales in the quarter are fine, and they are in line with what we expect, and we expect to get to the 5 million euro mark as expressed in our guidelines. Before moving to the numbers, just one short comment on profitability. As expected, notwithstanding the price effect of vitamin D, which directly affects margins, our immuno-assay franchise continues to be very profitable due to the fact that growth of clear non-vitamin D is coming from products which bear margins comparable to vitamin D. This makes us confident that our exceptional profitability can be sustained also in the future. Now, let me now turn the podium to Pierluigi.
Thank you, Carlo. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I will comment some key points on the financial data that you find starting from page 12. Let's start having a look at the income statement. As Carlo already mentioned, it's worth mentioning to highlight the 0.2% growth of revenue at current exchange rate is 1.3% if we consider its constant exchange rate. This trend was accompanied by the quarterly performance of the economic margins, in line with our expectation, as well as with the trend already experienced in the recent quarters. Gross profit in Q1 2013 totalized 72 million of euros, with an incidence of 16.1% on revenues. EBITDA, the total amount is 41.6 million of euros, with a margin of 39.3%, and EBIT, the amount is 34.2 million of euros, with a margin of 32.3%. This means that we have a very solid and strong marginality that was driven by steady and high margin levels in reagent sales and high instrument and consumable sales, disregarding the negative trend, as we were expecting, coming from vitamin D due to the pricing pressure that Carlo has already mentioned, and from the progressive build-up of the organization to support the launch of the new molecular diagnostic business. Having said that, let me stress two relevant points on the EBITDA. First, if we include for a while the molecular business, our group's EBITDA would have been equal to 41.3%. And this is relevant to me to demonstrate once again that Diasol and Marge are really solid and very strong when we look at our capability to sell reagents on our Liaison platform. Second, when looking at the operating expenses, we have been able to keep them under a very tight and strict control. If we exclude again, the molecular business, OPEX in Q3 2013 are down by almost 2% when compared with the same period of 2012. Net financial expenses amount to €1 million, and they were due to the measurement at the fair value of forward contracts to sell the United States dollars, negative for €700,000, with non-negative monetary impact due to the fact to be a poorly evaluating accounting, and we have an amount of €400,000 for fees on factory transaction on the Italian account receivable, compared to the €500,000 in the same period of 2012. If then we look at the balance sheet at March 31st, total asset amount to €514 million, with a decrease of 12,600 euro if compared to the beginning of the year, mainly due to the increase of depreciation in the first quarter. As far as the net working capital is concerned, it increased in the quarter by 1.7 million euros, due in particular to higher trade receivables and inventories, partially offset by the change in other current assets and liabilities. The increase in trade receivable of €7.5 million is mainly due to the deterioration of payment performance, especially in the European markets, I would say Italy and Spain. The increase in inventory of €1.9 million is due to higher inventories of strategic material in production sites of the group for products whose launch is expected in the coming months. And finally, the increase in liabilities of €9 million is due to tax debts as well as to the use of tax credit recognized at December 31, 2012 during the first quarter of 2013. In the first quarter, once again, DiaSorin registered a very solid net financial position, equal to €72.2 million, with an improvement of €25 million from December 31st, due to the very significant cash flow generating from the operating activity in the first quarter of the present year. Free cash flow in the first quarter was really strong and equal to €25.2 million. Last but not least, let me conclude focusing on the fact that DiaSorin has shown in the first quarter of this year good and strong results in terms of revenues, despite the ongoing difficulty worldwide economy and environmental, and the vitamin D pricing pressure that negatively affected, vice versa, our capability to grow double digit across all the rest of Clear Menu. So, on this basis, the first quarter results confirm that our strategy is working across all the line of products. For this reason, we are comfortable in confirming the guidance for full year 2013 that we provided to the market in the last conference call, both in terms of revenues, EBITDA, and also Liaison and Liaison XL system installments.
Thank you, Pierluigi. Now, I think we are done on this side, and we should really open the podium to Q&A.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Wales, your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Not very well, Martin. Can you...
Sure, how's that?
Yeah, better, thanks.
Cool. Well, good afternoon. Can we start by asking the boring vitamin D question, which it appears to have, or decline seems to accelerate in the quarter, just what's driving that?
No, I didn't say, Martin, that the decline is accelerated. What I said is that the decline in quarter one, and this is comparing to quarter one last year, is as expected, and we believe that this effect will smooth out in the second part of the year. So I didn't mean to say that there was any acceleration there.
No, that was me. It looks very like
sorry.
It's accelerating. So in terms of pricing pressures across the rest of the year, I mean, how much, and volume pressures for that matter, how should we think about the year evolving in vitamin D explicitly?
Listen, we said that we expect to see an overall effect of 10 million euros of decline in vitamin D pricing. And so far, I would not like, let me say, I see that this is what we expect coming also from the next quarter. So again, I reconfirm that around 10 million euros is the net effect, mainly driven on price, I mean all driven on price, that we expect to see from vitamin D.
And obviously you've reiterated your revenue guidance for the year despite the fact you won't get any vitamin D in Japan this year.
Yes, keep in mind that as stated from the beginning, vitamin D in Japan in 2013 was fairly limited.
Yes.
And so we don't feel that this should affect our ability to grow according to guidance.
Okay, and looking at your U.S. business, clearly you're bringing 10 new products out in the first half, six of which are already there. What's the current portfolio of products that's available in the United States from the chemical in essence perspective, and what should it look like at the end of this year?
I think that as we speak, we have around 35 products approved in the U.S. Combination, the vast majority of it is available on the Liaison platform, and then we are going through migration to the Liaison Excel. Traditionally in the U.S. We have brought infectious disease products. That was our strategy. However, it is very clear to us that vitamin D has brought us into different labs, so market segment, which has to do more with endocrinology. And for that reason, we decided that we wanted to expand our menu availability in the U.S. with mainstream endocrinology products, products that everybody have, but very clearly they are key if you need to position your platform as in an endocrinology lab, along with vitamin D and specialty products. And hypertension is a very good example, because all this hypertension testing is done in the same lab where the endocrine testing is performed. So we will have a combination of two menus in the U.S., the infectious disease, which is what we have today and is driving the growth. The ID products in Q1 grew 25% in the U.S., and now all the endocrinology line, which we expect to be materially completed by June.
Okay, and one more before I get back into the queue. In Germany, you've done very well. Yet I understand there is a big cut in reimbursement coming to the clinical laboratories in Germany, in the order of 10%. Are you seeing any price pressure now begin to emerge in Germany as a result of this, or are the labs just going to have to wear that themselves?
Listen, we have seen Germany traditionally as a competitive market for a very simple reason. It's a market that is... where the customer base is made of private labs, which today are not only national, but they are owned by foreign entities, and Sonic is a very good example of that. So it has always been very price competitive. And because of the way the market is shaped up, we have been traditionally positioned as suppliers of specialty high-value products. For that reason, notwithstanding a general, in general, the prices are lower in Germany. For us, it remains a very profitable market, again, because we sell a lot of specialties. And luckily enough, when we sell specialties at that point, reimbursement is still generous, and we don't see the effect of on price pressure on specialties as you would expect from other products. As far as vitamin D is concerned, if I may, Germany is a very good example where, yes, we have seen erosion from vitamin D pricing, which, however, has been countered by increasing volumes. So we saw price pressure on vitamin D. Prices have been declining, but historically over the last few quarters. However, there is still a strong growth in volume. And all in all, also our vitamin D franchise in Germany, which is representing, however, a fairly small portion of our portfolio, is still growing.
Okay, I'll get back in the queue now and let some other people ask some questions.
Thank you, Martin.
The next question is from Luigi De Bellis of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. I have three questions. The first one is on profitability. Could you give us more color on the main elements that have driven the increase in the EBITDA margin in Q1 compared to Q4, despite a slight increase in the weight of the instrument sales? The second question on China, could you elaborate on your strategy for this market, both organically and potentially via acquisition, and if it's possible to have the weight on total sales of the Chinese market for the year, and what is the growth rate expected in 2013 for this market? And the last question on the guidance. You have confirmed your guidance for the full year for a flat EBITDA. However, Q1 was -6 year-on-year. Could you elaborate on what will be the driver that will drive the pickup in the second half of the year? Thank you.
Let me start from the third question. I think that we have confirmed that in absolute values we would be able to maintain the EBITDA to the same level of last year. Okay. Therefore, I believe there has been a misunderstanding. We didn't say, the guideline was not intended to say that the profitability vis-a-vis the percentage would have been maintained. And so if you look at that, we don't expect to see, we are in line with what we would get by year end. If you go to the first question, as far as the profitability of quarter one, is a combination of two elements. The first one is mix and geographies, because, as I said before, the European business, which is extremely profitable for us, is doing well, is recovering, is carrying more weight, and that does affect the profitability of the group. Second, because of phasing of the OPEX level in quarter one has been lower than the OPEX level in quarter four. And therefore, you see traditionally a higher EBITDA level in the first quarter. As far as your second question is concerned, which is China, China today represents in value around 5% of total revenues. It does represent, however, in volume, a much higher percentage, because in China is everybody else. So this is not only the Yesoren, but it's typical of all companies, including the very large companies that we operate through distribution. And traditionally, we leave to the distributor a 40-50% margin on the transfer price, and that means that in volume, China does represent today close to 10% of volume. Now, if you go by product families, the incidence of China is even bigger because we focus our business in China in two clinical areas, infectious disease on one side and traditional oncology on the other one. So China is becoming very relevant as a market for some of our manufacturing sites. Germany is one, very clearly, which depends a lot on China, and the other one is Italian manufacturing site because we make all the infectious disease products over here. In terms of expected growth, we gave ourselves a very challenging target for this year, which is in line with percentage-wise with what we have been experiencing in the last in the previous years. We believe we can get there. So is over 20% growth. We believe we can get there as a result of the existing installed base of Liaison. We now have over 420 Liaison installed in the country, and the fact that we just launched the Liaison XL. So this is the first quarter where we operate in the country with the Liaison XL.
Okay, thank you. Just a follow-up. Are you evaluating some potential acquisition in the country, and which are more or less the multiples that in this country the company are trading more or less for this sector?
Yes, we are looking into the future of China. Very clearly, we believe that you cannot continue to operate in China as a distributor, so different options are open as far as China is concerned. We are not in a hurry because our business is growing very nicely, a very profitable business, but long term something has to be done in China. Unfortunately, many companies made they rushed in and they made some strategic mistakes, and we don't want to do the same. So we are very careful about the strategy. As far as multiples, I don't know, I cannot comment on that, but I think they are outrageous multiples, I believe, and today they don't really make too much sense to me, if I may, but that's a personal opinion.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Maura Garbero of One Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I've got a few questions, if I may. Just going back to the 10 million hits that you are getting from prices from vitamin D, can you please help us understanding how much of those 10 million is going to fall into the first half of the year compared to the second half? And just going back to a previous question, when we were referring to your guidance for a flat EBITDA, it's really on a reported figure, not margin-wise. And since we are starting from a first quarter, which is down 6%, we're just trying to understand what makes you confident of achieving a flat EBITDA year on year. Thank you.
Okay, first, I'm not really sure that I want to comment too much on the vitamin D 10 million and the way I want to split it by quarter. Very clearly, I expect to see more in the first half than the second half, but I really don't plan to give any indication to the number, the net effect that I see by quarter or every 6 months. And it's very logical to believe that a good portion of this would fall in the first half. As far as the margins are concerned, if we compare year on year, we are down in quarter one 2.6 million. However, at current exchange rate, however, you need to consider that we expect growth coming in the second, third, and fourth quarter, and therefore since the business will grow and we expect the OPEX not to grow proportionally, we expect that the net amount of EBITDA contribution in the following quarters will allow us to recoup what we have lost, the 2.6 million we have lost in the quarter one, and net-net come to an even number vis-a-vis the previous year.
Thank you. Jump back to the queue.
The next question is from Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. I saw that in the quarter you reported a very good sales figure for instruments, were up 30%. I was wondering if you can give some more color on where exactly you ship this instrument, geographically speaking, if there is any country that is particularly receptive of your instruments. Thanks.
No, Massimo. Again, as I said, this is part of a strategy whereby we have unleashed distribution starting from last year and this year in both in the South America as well as Asia Pacific. And however, there is something that we need to clarify here. When we talk about instruments, in reality, it's not only instruments, but there is also a flow of consumables. And these consumables, you need to understand that Liaison Excel is, since it does require lots of more plastic consumable than the Liaison, because we use plastic tips rather than steel needles, for example, or we have cuvettes. Every time we sell a Liaison Excel to distributors, there is also a very nice flow of consumables that follows. So this increase that you see is a combination of Liaison Excel, so instruments sold this year, but also the increasing volume of consumables. And now we sell to distributors and in certain geographies, even to customers, coming from installations done in the previous quarters.
Okay, thank you very much. Very helpful.
The next question is from Elisa Corghi of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, and sorry for these further questions on your vitamin D business, but basically I want to be sure to have understood correctly. So that is what I would like to know. And, well, did you take further price reductions on vitamin D in Q1? And is pricing pressure in the U.S. market stabilizing now? And then a final question, if I may, were Q1 results in line with your expectations and your budget? Thank you.
As far as price on vitamin D is concerned, we don't see anything which is out of ordinary. And let me just say what I mean. It is very clear in the current environment, but this is not only true for vitamin D. I think it's true across all product lines, that when contracts do expire, there are always negotiations between supplier and clients in terms of renewal, increased business versus price concessions. But this has been, it's nothing which is typical of our business. It is typical of any business. So what vitamin D does, it falls under the same rule. So every time we will renegotiate contracts worldwide, or we've been renegotiating contracts worldwide, we are discussing prices. However, what is different now from what it used to be, and this is the reason why we started in the U.S. with the so-called menu expansion project, is that when we discuss renewals of systems in labs with vitamin D and consequent discounts, then we ask, or we are in a position now with the full catalog to ask for more business. So you are trading vitamin D revenues with revenues coming from other products. And this is what is happening, what has been happening traditionally across all the other geographies. So do I expect to continue to negotiate vitamin D under ordinary course of business? Yes, as I do for all the other products. Do I see that the trend of continuous renegotiation or one-off renegotiation pushed by competition and a realignment of pricing that happened in 2012, sorry, do I see to continue? No. Now, sorry, Elisa, what was your second question?
Well, it was basically on Q1 results. I would like to know if they were in line with your expectations and your budget, and, well, thanks for vitamin D, it was very clear.
Yes, they are. They are in line with what we expect, and this is why we feel comfortable with the guidelines that we provided to the market.
Thanks a lot.
The next question is a follow-up from Maura Garbero of One Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Just a follow-up. On your gross margin in the first quarter, declined by 260 bps year-on-year. Can you please break it down how much was due to vitamin D pricing and how much is due to the dilution created by instrument sales? And then another question is, what are you expecting in terms of contribution from instrument sales during the course of the full year, so within this 2 to 4% guidance? Thank you.
Listen, as you know, thanks for asking, but we have not been providing data about split margins from the beginning of our conference calls, and we are not going to do it going forward because I consider this as a sensitive information. So, no, I cannot provide that data.
No, sorry, it's just because you did in the fourth quarter. That's it.
On vitamin D, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, in the fourth quarter, when you reported the result, there was a particular slowdown in your first margin, and at that time you gave some indication how much it was due to instruments compared to pricing of vitamin D, at least some color or a general indication. But if you don't want to provide it anymore, we will accept it.
No, sorry, I don't want to provide it to you. It may be that by year end we're going to make a comment on the year because that would be more meaningful, but no colors on that on a quarter result, also because it would be quite difficult and deceiving in my very humble opinion. Second, we expect our instrument / consumable business to continue to grow. It is difficult to say whether we will continue with the existing rate, because again it's a combination of instrument sales and consumable growth, but I expect that we should clear anything between 45 to 50 million in instrument / consumable sales in 2013.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Elisa Corghi of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, sorry again to interrupt you. I was looking at your performance in Australia, which was very strong in Q1 vis-à-vis last year, and I noted it was related mainly to your vitamin D, Clear business ex vitamin D. Can you give us some more color on this? Thank you.
Australia is a good example of a country that was fully dependent on vitamin D. Actually, let me remind you that we used to operate in Australia through a distributor who was selling just vitamin D, and then we decided 3 years ago to buy the business because we wanted to diversify away from vitamin D. As you know, Australia is a home base to Sonic, that is one of our largest customers worldwide, a very good customer for us. And as a result of price renegotiation with Sonic, which happened in December 2011, we had to concede on price for vitamin D, but we got exposure worldwide to the Sonic laboratory chain, to lots of different products in infectious disease. So what you see right now is exactly the result of what was done there, where we have conceded on vitamin D pricings, but we got a diversification of product portfolio and sales in infectious disease. Let me say that this is what, on a different scale, we expect to happen in the U.S. when providing more products and the availability of the Liaison XL, we are going to leverage on a relationship which has been based historically on vitamin D and then sell a much larger product catalog, diffusing, let me say, the risk of being a vitamin D provider to a big labs.
Thank you very much.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Roberto Casoni of Otus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I have one question on vitamin D Japan. Can you give us an indication of what is going to be the impact of this delay in the registration from the authorities, particularly in 2014? I mean, how is going to be impacting the delay, and how long is the delay? Is it going to be 6 months or a year?
I believe you may have missed the call or when I was discussing about it, so I will repeat it for you.
Sorry. Yeah.
We said that in a previous call, we have indicated that expectations of vitamin D revenues in Japan for 2013 were around 1 million euro.
Okay.
So it's not material vis-a-vis 2013. Certainly, I'm not available to comment on 2014. We were going to do it on due time. And in my opinion, I think that we should frame really vitamin D in Japan not only in 2014, but going forward when we will develop a long-term plan giving all of us a view besides 2014. So I cannot comment on 2014. For 2013, it's 1
million. But how... I mean, can you give us an indication of what is the delay? We're talking about 3-6 months.
Yes. No, I said that I made it very short. Let's not count on vitamin D in 2013.
Yeah.
The clock has been reset, and we don't expect to see the approval within quarter four.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you, operator. Take care. Bye-bye.